the pages of IHS Fan Magazine, the Austin area's premier high school football preview publication, and the creators of the Horn Webcast Network, powered by IHS Fan. Welcome to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Here are your hosts, Rick Epstein and Jeff Power.
Good evening, high school football fans. Welcome to show number 9 of season number 3 of Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Each Wednesday night for the next 10 weeks, we will shine the spotlight on Austin area high school football. Listen, if you like Austin area high school football, this is your show for the next 2 hours. My name is Rick Epstein. I am the publisher of IHS Fan Magazine, Austin's premier high school football preview magazine. Do me a favor. If you have not already done so, take out your phone right now in your hand. Follow us on Twitter at IHSFAN. That's IHSFAN. And download the Horn app while you're at it. Because listen, this week on Friday night, 47% of the area 5A and 6A games all available for free right on the Horn app. As always, my partner each and every week, the one and only Jeff Power. Jeff, how's it going?
I'm awesome. Good to see the weather changing. Everybody fired up for football. Might even have a little moisture this week.
Hey, moisture. All right.
It's good for the skin.
The man behind the glass, our show producer, the world famous former Bowie Bulldog, Isaiah Collier. Hey, we've got a great show tonight, Jeff. We're going to talk to four different area head coaches. Coach Gammerdinger with McCallum, Coach Altman from the Weiss Wolves, Coach Umberto Garza from the Aikens Eagles, and we're going to talk to Charles Taylor of the Pflugerville Panthers. In addition, we're going to talk to a great player, Elijah Oakman, later on. He's running back for Pflugerville. Our Ask a Doc segment with Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas, Dr. Putney, will join us. And a special guest later on in the show, Austin Chittum from Bulldogs United, and we're going to talk about that later on. But before we get to our first guest, let me tell you about the ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. Each week at this time, we feature a different team as our ARS Rescue Team of the Week. We want to thank our title sponsor. Since our very first show, ARS Rescue Router has been such a great partner. You see their vans all over Austin. Brad and Coach Acker manage such a great group of folks over there. If you need anything with your heating or air conditioning or your plumbing, give ARS Rescue Router a call and let them know that you love high school football as much as they do. This week's Team of the Week is the Connolly Cougars. Coach Jason Cecil's squad earned their first win of the season in last Friday night's exciting 35-25 win over Pflugerville. In their first ever win over school district rival Pflugerville, Connolly's Faison Washington broke a 28-28 tie late in the game as he went in from 1 yard out for the go-ahead score. The second half saw a total of 8 touchdowns scored between the teams. Quarterback Darius McGrew threw 2 touchdown passes, and Demetrius Gardner-Holmes added a 70-yard TD run. Congrats to the Connolly Cougars for being named the ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. And as we mentioned, Jeff, do you know in our first 8 shows that we had, this is show number 9, we visited with 22 different area high school coaches. There's only like 35 in 5A and 6A. We're going to get to them all.
That's right. Hey, you know, we got 2 hours every Wednesday night from 7 to 9, so we got to spread the wealth.
We're going to talk to one of the coaches we have not spoken to this year. We spoke to him last year for sure. Welcome to the show, the head coach of the McCallum Knights, Coach Gammerdinger. Coach, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. How you doing, guys?
Wonderful. Welcome back to Under the Lights. I know you were a guest last year. You're now in your second season as head coach out there at McCallum. This year, you've really had to deal with a ton of injuries, including your starting quarterback, Cole Davis. Despite all the injuries, what have you been most pleased with this season, Coach?
The kids have showed a lot of toughness. They've overcome, like you said, a lot of obstacles, and losing Cole Davis right off the bat there, that was – you know, tough for us, but I think the kids have shown a lot of composure and you know, they keep competing.
Coach Gammerdinger, Jeff Power. Hey, let's give folks a little background on you. You played at Cypress Springs High School in the Houston area. You coached with Pete Carroll as a student assistant while attending USC. And you coached at Pierce Middle School in Austin before moving to McCallum. You were the defensive coordinator on the McCallum Magical Mystery Tour, that 14-1 5A Division II state semifinal appearance. Give me your thoughts as you approach, you know, going into now your second season here with McCallum, just how things, you know, change from year to year. I mean, you've got different players. You've got to adapt to different systems and all this kind of stuff. Just take us through the background of, you know, being in Austin ISD now for a while and what you go through as a coach from year in and year out with all the different personnel.
Yeah, well, I started off as a seventh grade special teams coordinator, so it's changed a lot over the last few years. But I think over the last year or so here, just trying to figure out how to be a head coach. You know, I think last year I was more of a defensive coordinator masquerading as a head coach. Now I'm trying to figure out how to win games from a team perspective and try and take a step back and see things from the big picture. And, you know, I can't be obsessed with DB footwork anymore. I gotta impress that upon my assistants and kind of worry about the big picture.
Coach, at 1-2 in district, you're still very much in the playoff hunt, especially since the combined record of your final four opponents is just 7 wins and 17 losses. What are your thoughts coming down the home stretch?
Yeah, we got to win them all down the stretch here. So, you know, I try not to worry about the opposing team's records. I've seen some good football teams that have poor records. So, you know, we're just working on getting better every day. That's the thing I'm trying to stress to these kids is, you know, regardless of the opponent, we're trying to get better so that we could be at our best here down the stretch these last 2 and 3 games.
Well, last week you had a thorough dominating performance as your defense pitched a 56-0 shutout over Navarro. Who were some of the star standout defensive players you could recognize?
Well, I think you got to start off with Alvino Carbajal, defensive tackle. He's a load, and I think every coach I talk to, whenever I talk to them, you know, before the game, they always, first person they want to talk about is number 70, and he's done a good job this year. August McCollum, our senior middle linebacker, he's come a really long way since last year, and he's doing a really good job lining up the defense and really showing a lot of growth this year. And then also got to give credit to Zach Napier, our strong safety. We got a really young secondary, and he's done a really, really good job mentoring those guys and helping us in the back end.
Coach, tell us a bit about Jackson Rosales as he's had to step up replacing Cole Davis and also Takei Satberry and what he's meant to the team, being one of your top receivers who, you know, is kind of a leader out there for you guys.
Yeah, well, you can't say enough about what Jackson's done. He got thrown into the fire there the second series against Anderson, and he's just shown a ton of poise and toughness. And for a sophomore to jump in there like that, man, I can't say enough about the job he's done. Takei, he's got all the tools, and I've been waiting for him to really break out, and he's finally doing it this year. He's really grown a lot as a player and as a person, and I'm glad it's working out for him this year. He's doing a good job. I'd also like to give a lot of credit while I'm at it to our running back, Caleb Brown. He doesn't get a ton of yards maybe compared to some of the McCallum running backs in the past, but, I mean, he's every yard he's gotten, he's earned. You can believe that, and he's shown a lot of toughness.
Coach, I'm going to switch gears here and talk about a different subject. I often like when I get an Austin area high school football coach on, I like to talk about participation numbers. And really, when I think back to 2017, as Jeff and I called it, the magical mystery tour of McCallum, you suited up about 35 varsity players that season. You know, the challenge of inner city Austin area participation, what do you think some of the contributing factors are? You know, most folks don't realize, you know, I think I counted maybe 30, 32 kids in your first at the Taco Shack Bowl that were suited up for you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors there. I mean, obviously the concussion issue is something that's, you know, got parents nervous. I think just the growth of, you know, social media and electronics and stuff, there's just a lot of options for kids. I think, you know, especially in AISD as compared to some of these outside of town schools, you know, the alignment in the middle school systems gives them a little bit of an advantage, I think. But, you know, we're not going to make any excuses around here, and we just need to keep getting those numbers up. And we've had a couple of nice classes, and we're trying to build it up from the bottom.
Yeah, that's what was so impressive. You know, I still think there's a movie out there for your 2017 squad because you were one game away from Jerry World, and with that, the participation numbers being so low. Well, Coach, listen, we hope to have you back on the show later on this season talking about another great McCallum playoff run. How does that sound?
Hey, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. Thanks so much for being on Under the Lights, and we'll talk to you soon, Coach.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That was Coach Gammerdinger, one of the great last names of all the coaches in the era. Gammerdinger. I love just saying that. great guy. And they battled some injuries this year, Jeff.
Yeah, we were at that first game against Anderson, and it was just, you know, when you lose your starter like Cole Davis, you're losing a significant player to your team. And for him to go out that quickly in the season, that just, you have to almost take everything you've worked on for 4 weeks in the preseason and throw it out the window.
Right out the window. Before we get to our Ask a Doc segment, let me tell you a little bit about Austin Community College. What would you do after high school? Do you have a plan? Whether you want to earn a degree, get ahead with transfer classes, or train for a good job, Austin Community College is there to help. ACC's College Destination Center offers one-on-one advising to help you get your plans on track. It's never too early to start. Get personalized assistance with career exploration, financial aid, applying for college, and other questions, big or small. Contact ACC at austincc.edu/startnow or call them at 512-223-7747. That's austincc.edu/startnow. ACC, start here and get there. And now we're going to go to our Ask a Doc segment.
It's time for Ask the Doc, presented by Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Each week, we will visit with a doc to discuss a sports-related medical topic. Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas provides comprehensive orthopedics, including sports medicine, joint replacement, spine surgery, hand specialists, foot and ankle, and physical medicine and rehab. In addition, they offer same-day appointments and on-site imaging and physical therapy. Visit them at oactdocs.com. That's oactdocs.com.
And we're back, and we're going to be talking a subject tonight. Well, this is one of my favorite segments of the show. We talk a different sports-related medical topic. Tonight's topic, dislocated shoulders. So really listen up here. We're going to talk to Dr. Michael Putney again, who was a guest out there at Bush's Chicken on our first show of the year. Dr. Putney, how are you? Welcome back.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back. Looks like football weather's finally here.
Exactly. We need it. Dr. Putney, let's talk a little bit about dislocated shoulders. What happens exactly to the shoulder when there is a dislocation?
Well, the definition of a dislocation is the ball of the shoulder comes out of the cup part. And it can come in various directions. Most times it comes out the front, but it can go out the back or even downwards. And that's also to distinguish between a shoulder separation where the collarbone comes separated from the shoulder as well. So a dislocation is when the ball comes out of the joint.
And what is the normal treatment and rehab for a dislocated shoulder?
Most times we try to put it in as quickly as possible. A lot of times, especially the trainers and the doctors that are on the field around here can usually get it in on the field if we get to it quickly before the muscle spasm sets in. Sometimes if we just can't get it in, you have to go to the emergency room and get some sedation or some muscle relaxation, but we try to get it in as soon as possible. Most times we can, for most people, it just happens one time. And especially with some rehab and muscle strengthening, you can keep it from happening again.
So when
go ahead.
Yeah. So when you talk about you try to get it in right there, you see these on the sidelines sometimes and a player winces in pain as they pop it back in. Is a player able at that point, once it's popped back in, to go out and resume contact?
No, that's there. Once the adrenaline wears off, and even though it's back in place and they feel a whole lot better, they're not able to get back into the game that night for sure. We'd like to do some rehab and see if we can get the muscle strengthened back up around that just as soon as possible.
And so what is the actual rehab for that?
Yeah, we've all heard of the rotator cuff muscles that baseball players tear. And those same muscles help stabilize your shoulder as part of their function as well. So we try to strengthen those muscles up as much as possible. And see if that will hold it in. Now, sometimes, especially there's one group of people where that doesn't always work, and that's teenage and 20-year-old men. So that is the one group of people where they are at a higher risk of it popping back out again at some point in time, that's for sure.
Well, Dr. Putney, we really appreciate you and all your colleagues out there at Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. This has been a very informative segment. We look forward to the final 8 episodes, if you will, because we're on through mid-December, and we'll have a different topic, hopefully, each and every night. And really appreciate it, and thanks for hopping on tonight with us.
My pleasure, and I hope I talk to you all one more time this year.
We will. We will get you on. That was Dr. Putney from the Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Yeah, you see that all the time. Even in Friday Night Lights, you saw them pop the shoulder back in, and he went right back in. But I guess that was a movie.
Yeah, an adrenaline, like you were saying there. And yeah, but not something that's doctor recommended.
Exactly. Let's before we go to break, let's talk to you a little bit about the IHS Fan Power Poll. Each week we rank 10 teams in our top 10, and we've had some movement because of what happened on Friday night. At the number one spot, taking over, is the Lake Travis Cavaliers. Moving into the number two spot, the undefeated Fighting Drew Sanders, the Vandergrift Vipers. Coming in at number three, Westlake. Number four, probably one of the surprise teams in the area, I would say, this team and one of the coaches we're going to be talking to, the Stony Point Tigers.
Yeah, they've undefeated. Had an incredible season so far. Craig Cheshire, an incredible job. Coach of the year, man.
Yeah, well, between him and Tommy Altman right now, if the season ended today, they're number four. And what Kendall Thomas is doing, averaging 11.5 yards a carry, 17 touchdowns, it's ridiculous what he's doing. He had another 280-yard game last week, averaging 245. So they're in number four. Cedar Park has a big one against the number six team, but Cedar Park comes in at number five. Number six is the Hutto Hippos. Number seven, they just keep winning. That's all Les Goad does, just win, baby. The Hayes Rebels comes in at number seven. The Round Rock Dragons, they are in at number eight, and they have a big one this week. Dripping Springs comes in at number nine, and the team Dripping Springs beat, LBJ, is number 10. Now, we've got four more teams that are just on the cusp, and ever since we had Jimmy Mitchell on the show a few weeks ago, they have not lost, and they're a number 11.
I was going to say, they must be on the outside looking barely.
The Manor Mustangs, Del Valle Cardinals, Coach Burton out there. I think the last four games they've averaged over 60 points a game.
Yeah,
they are just throwing numbers up like their basketball team. Their basketball team hopes they score as much as their football game. And then the Weiss Wolves. We'll have Coach Tommy Altman on here in a minute. They are on the cusp. And the Eastern U Patriots, Coach Jared Fikoch, who was also on our show, the first show of the year, they're doing quite well as well. That is our IHS Fan top 10 poll. And, Jeff, of those teams what about that surprises you, or who do you think is who is the most surprising team this year for you?
Well, I mean, I think the surprising team is Stony Point. I don't think there's any question there. I mean, the fact that they're just running the football so well. Their game against Vista Ridge, they were trailing 29-14, I believe, and then rattled off 30 consecutive points, pretty much all on the ground with Thomas running behind that big offensive line. And they play good defense too. I like what they're doing over there.
Vista Ridge also surprising.
Yeah. And they've got a big game this week in Cedar Ridge.
Yep, the Weiss Wolves. There's so many teams that you could say, wow, this year. We weren't expecting it. We were expecting Stony Point to be good. I don't know if we were expecting how good, and they're just playing lights out. And like you said, 30 unanswered points in that game against Vista Ridge. Vista Ridge, who, remember, folks, did they win one game last year?
One game. Beat Leander, finished 1-9.
And now they're, sitting at 5-2.
5-2,
really playing for a key playoff spot. And, Luke Horn and Rodney Vincent and all those guys in Ranger Nation, they're doing great.
Yeah, amazing just what can happen in one year and why you got to give coaches their fair shot. You know what
right.
I mean? A lot of times, like Charles Taylor, we'll talk to him later.
Right.
He's got some talent come up, but he's got a really young team right now.
Right.
You know, you got to give him time to kind of get in there and get their system into place.
Well, and again, high school is different than college. College, Coach Herman can go out and recruit.
Mm-hmm.
He can recruit his players, his coaches. High school, you get what you get. You have to make do with whoever comes into the door on that first day of school, and that's your team. So, there are certain coaches that are behind the eight ball from day one. They just don't have the amount of players. There's an old saying for coaches, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmies and the Joes. It's how many kids you have out there. If you've got, you know, 150 players on the field, you can get a couple quarterbacks. You can get a couple receivers. Where if you have 35 players, it's a lot harder.
And that's why every year it seems like Lake Travis can always plug in another quarterback. Like Hudson Card goes down, but they've got another guy ready to go right back in. So
yeah.
You need that when you have a lot of players, though, that's for sure.
And before we go to break, we want to give a shout-out to IHS Fan Top 10 player Hudson Card, who many of you have probably already heard by now. He was injured toe. And played through it during the Westlake game, came out with a big W for him, and he looks like his season is done. He is going to be early enrolling at the University of Texas. I know he's a great kid and a great leader, and he will do a lot for Coach Carter on the sidelines with this team. So his time on the field may be taking snaps may be over for his high school career, but certainly not what he's going to do to help the Lake Travis Cavaliers on the sidelines. Listen, when we come back, we've got so much more, including three more coaches, one more player, and a special guest. You are listening to The Horn Under the Lights. We have already talked with a great coach, Coach Thomas Gammerdinger. Talked to Dr. Putney from Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. We've got such a robust show tonight, Jeff. I really stretched it. Usually we have two or three coaches on. Tonight we're having four, and we're going to get right to it because I know he's on the line, ready to go. This is one of the hottest coaches in Central Texas, the head coach of the Weiss Wolves, Tommy Altman. Coach, welcome back to Under the Lights.
Appreciate you having me again, Rick.
Hey, this is, you know, your second time on the show this year. You and the team really are one of the great stories of 2019. We all know, as many people know, you were winless last year in your first ever season of varsity competition and now are riding high in first place of the district with a 5-1 record. What are you most pleased with through the first six games, Coach?
Really just the continued buy-in from our kids. You know, when you go through, you know, kind of what we went through last year, but that first year varsity football with no seniors, you know, those kids had a choice to make, and they've stayed with us in the total buy-in, and that's the biggest impression that they've left on us so far.
Tommy, Jeff Power here. Hey, since week two, since the loss to Canyon Lake 21-20, your Weiss Wolves defeated your next four opponents, Rouse, Bastrop, Glenn, and Elgin, 141-31, with Cedar Creek next, and they are 4-2 overall, 1-2 in 13 5A Division II. Talk about this matchup and just the importance of continuing to just keep on winning, playing good offense and good defense.
Yeah, it's a heck of a matchup. You know, they defensively are very solid, especially up front, you know, anchored with Alfred Collins out there. So we definitely have our hands, you know, full this week with their defense. And of course, you know, our defense is playing at a really high level right now. So I look for this game to be this could be a very kind of old school, low scoring defensive affair on Friday night.
Yeah, you know, you talk about Alfred Collins. I think he's taking his official visit on Saturday to the University of Texas. I know they really want him on playing for them next year. But let's talk a little bit about your offense. Roughly 66% of your offensive plays are running plays, and you have five players who have carried the ball at least 18 times. What are your thoughts about your offense, and who have some of the players that have really excelled this season?
Yeah, really, really impressed with our offensive run game the last few weeks. You know, and it's kudos to our guys up front. You know, there was a lot of question marks with our offensive line coming into the year. We really couldn't be prouder of the effort that those guys are playing with. And then our running backs, Jaden Askew, Devin Cross, and then with the injury to Jackson Sandlin, our starting quarterback, we've got Tavion Court back there, the sophomore. So it's kind of a three-headed monster right now when we get in our two-back stuff. And I think it's given some defenses some trouble. But, again, you can't run the football without the people up front, and our offensive line's been playing really well.
And maybe another thought on Tavion Court. I mean, over 300 yards passing and five TDs against Rouse. And, you know, in Sandlin with over 400 yards passing and a pair of TDs, I mean, you got a couple quarterbacks there that really have been able to get the job done so far this year. Just talk about, you know, having that kind of mobility and that kind of leadership in that position under center.
Yeah, you know, it's a huge deal to be able to go into a season knowing that, you know, kind of we went into, you know, who's got the hot hands kind of going to be the guy. Tavion's very mature for his age. And the situation that he's in right now with being the starter the last few weeks, he's really shown a command of the offense and been able to step right in and lead. And for a sophomore, that's not always the easiest thing to do when you got 33 seniors on the roster. But he's really managing it well right now.
You have to be really pleased with the player of your defense. You've got two shutouts, including a dominating performance against last year's district champion, Glenn. Your defense has just given up 11 points per game. What has impressed you most about the play of your defense this year?
It's just an all-in mentality with the 11 on defense. We utilize multiple packages with different personnel. But those guys just, they play it the way that we coach it. It's anchored by our defense. With Hamilton Lions and Cameron Cavalier, those guys really set the tone up front for us. And then we're just solid, you know, second level, third level defense. Edric Whitley in the secondary, and they play together. I mean, that's the biggest thing about our defense is they've got a brotherhood mentality, and you know, they set out to be the best defense in the district, and they're trying to, you know, make a point each week to stay there.
And I know you had the four turnovers against Rouse and that 25-0 win, first home win for the team, in fact. But talk about the importance of getting those turnovers, because that's a difference maker when it comes to high school football.
It's a huge difference maker. You know, we talk about, you know, creating turnovers and limiting them, you know, on offense, and then, you know, winning the special teams battle. Those are conversations that go on every weekend as we look to start preparing for our next opponent. So our kids have been hearing that from day one. I've been really impressed with our ball security this year.
Coach, I know nobody likes to talk about the playoffs, especially during the regular season until you actually clinch a playoff spot. But what would it mean to the Weiss community to qualify for the playoffs in just your second season?
It would be huge for us. You know, that's the standard goal in the program is to make the playoffs and be one of those teams and then work from there. It would be absolutely amazing for us to continue to take care of business and potentially host a first round game. But we've got some tough people ahead of us on the schedule with Cedar Creek, Eastview, and Brenham, you know, and then Marble Falls with the slot T in there. So we got our work cut out for us the next month, and our kids know, you know, we're really going to find out what kind of team we are over the rest of October and early November.
Yeah, the Horn Webcast Network, powered by IHS Fan, would love to call some Weiss Wolves playoff football. That would be pretty cool. How about that?
That'd be absolutely awesome. What you guys do for us is tremendous.
Well, Coach, thank you so much for being on Under the Lights for the second time this year. Hey, you could set a record. I think one coach was on three times 1 year, and I have a feeling you're going to at least equal that record with the way your team is playing. So, Coach, good luck the rest of the way, and congratulations on the great season.
Thank you, Rick. We really appreciate it.
All right. That was Coach Tommy Altman. What a turnaround, Jeff, for the Weiss Wolves. And the community is just over the moon for these kids.
You know, I think as much as you talked about the Glenn Grizzlies last year, I think the Weiss Wolves have kind of replaced Glenn this year as that magical team that's making that run.
Right. And, you know, obviously Glenn is fighting for their playoff spot as well. But just to come in your first varsity season, what Glenn did was just incredible. Mm-hmm. And the second season, remember, Weiss did not have a senior last year. So they took their lumps. They knew that the next year was going to be good. They returned all 22 of their starters, and that's usually a good sign.
Yeah, that is. And they're playing well, like you said, defense, and that's where it all starts.
Well, we're going to go. We'd really appreciate having him on the show, and he's going to be back, I know. We're going to move right along. We're going to talk to a running back who is just tearing it up, the super soft from Pflugerville High School, Elijah Oakman. Elijah, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm on the line.
Wonderful. Listen, I really love watching you run. You know, last season, you were one of those rare players that started your high school career on the varsity as a freshman. Who is your favorite running back, and what makes you such a great running back?
So, my favorite running back was I watched a lot of, like, Barry Sanders and Bo Jackson.
Wow.
Really, power and the speed. Yes, sir.
That's old school. That's way before your time.
Yeah,
there.
Tecmo Bowl legends.
Yeah, I love that.
Yes, sir.
And what makes you such a great running back, Elijah?
So, I keep my feet and legs pumping, so I really don't like to go down. So I just got a certain drive that I don't want to go down.
Elijah, Jeff Power here. Let's talk about the super sophomores, not only yourself, but also your quarterback, Jalen Reeves, and just, you know, buying in, you know, staying on board and believing in Coach Charles Taylor and what it means for you guys to have a young team. I know you're taking your lumps a little bit this year, but you've got some youth and you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, can't you?
Oh, yeah. We got a pretty good sophomore group. I know most of the sophomores went to, like, middle school with me, so we already know how to play with each other, and we just follow what Coach Taylor's saying. We just staying on the boat and riding on.
Well, you've been averaging about 104 yards per game with 5 touchdowns through 7 games. Who are some of the big offensive linemen that open those holes for you?
Ooh, we got a couple. My center, he's the senior, Wyatt Crawford. We got Blake Marler. We got another sophomore, EJ Wilson. And I got a pretty good line. They fast and can move, and they'll move anybody out my hole and let me run.
And you make sure you thank them every time you run for 104 yards,
sir.
Right?
Sir.
No wristwatches yet, but working on it, right? How about the fact that, you know, you guys, there's so much talent in your area, the Pflugerville area. You know, I think about all the schools around Hendrickson, Hutto, all that area. You guys all kind of grew up together playing, you know, youth football and all that, and you all know each other so well. Is this the best football in the entire Central Texas area, is this northeastern quadrant of Austin?
Yeah, a lot of people sleep on Austin. We just got some dogs, some D1 talent. People just don't know what's going on in Austin. They need to come and see and wake up.
Well, we understand. We have a show every week under the lights. We shine the spotlight on Austin. We love Austin area high school football. Listen, let me talk to you about your finishing out of your schedule. Really tough with Georgetown, Hutto, and Cedar Park. What is the mood in the locker room with regards to the push for one of those coveted playoff spots?
Right now we just focus. We on the field, paying attention, just getting ready for these upcoming 3 games, because these are the biggest games of the season. So, and we know this. So everything we do is serious. There's no playing around.
You're effectively in the playoffs right now because you lose another game, it's going to be really tough to qualify for the playoffs. So you basically have a playoff starting right now.
Yeah, we just got to keep it and keep our head level.
Sounds good. Hey, good luck this week. And, Elijah, we always appreciate you having you on the show.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. That was Elijah Oakman. If you haven't seen this young man play, he, you know, just looking at him in his uniform, he reminds me of Adrian Peterson, actually. The way
right
he
there.
Runs and his power and his speed, you know, incredible. And he has to be good in order to play 5A football, any Texas high school football as a freshman, to start as a freshman, you got to be good, especially in a skill position.
And, you know, Pflugerville has always had good running backs. I think of DeAndre Hardiman and some of the studs that have played at Pflugerville. They've always had great talent. I just kind of remember those runs at both Pflugerville and maybe some of the other schools in that area, you know, just year in and year out. Stony Point was another one back 2010, 11, 12, you know, on and on. But it'd be good to get Pflugerville back in that, you know, over 500 and winning football week to week.
Yeah, you know, in that 11-5A D1 district, before we go to break, let's go ahead and run the standings of that. That's just a brutal district. Cedar Park on top. They're undefeated in district at 3-0, 6-1 overall. Hutto right behind them, and that's a big one this week. Basically, it's probably for the district championship. Let's just be honest. Maynor will have something to say about it, but the winner of the Hutto-Cedar Park game has certainly the inside track. Maynor still undefeated in district, 2-0, 4-2 overall. Then you got two teams at 1-2, Connolly and Pflugerville. Connolly got right back into the playoff picture with a win. Coach Jason Cecil, their first win of the season. They're 1-6. But right now, they'd be battling for that fourth spot with Pflugerville, who's also 1-2 and 2-5 overall. Georgetown and Rouse, winless in district. Georgetown 0-2, 3-3 overall, and Rouse 0-3, 0-7 overall. And they give, you know, what a district. Every game is just a tough competition.
Yeah, 11-5A, Division One. I mean, just up and down, all those teams, and there's really no room for error. I mean, it's not a district that's full of teams. You've only got seven, so you're not going to get in with more than two losses, most likely.
Yeah, no, it's, and you know, you look at it, you know, look, Pflugerville has to finish out Hutto, Georgetown, Cedar Park. I mean, that is just a, you know, talk about having to win tough games. Those are it. But Elijah Oakman, thank you for being on Under the Lights. And we want to thank also Coach Tommy Altman in this segment from the Weiss Wolves. What a turnaround he's had. And in the first segment, we had Coach Gamerdinger from the McCallum Knights, along with Dr. Putney from Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. So we've got four guests down, three to go still, Jeff. We just roll them. We roll these guests through here, and we love having them on. Listen, when we come back, we'll talk to the head coach of the Pflugerville Panthers, Coach Taylor, and then later on we'll talk to coach of the Aikens Eagles, Umberto Garza, and then Austin Chittum later on with Bulldogs United. You are listening to The Horn. Welcome back to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. We are moving right along. So many guests tonight. We're going to get right back into it and talk to another different area head coach, the head coach of the Pflugerville Panthers, Coach Charles Taylor. Coach, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Welcome back to Under the Lights, Coach. We just had a great conversation with your super soft running back, Elijah Oakman. What a great kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid. He's a good young man, you know, and a great football player.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. What makes him such a great running back and offensive threat, for that matter?
Well, his drive and his focus is the biggest thing. I mean, of course, he has physical attributes, but his work ethic is second to none. And so, you know, he worked really hard this summer, and you know, he had a great year as a freshman. But the work he put in this summer, he got bigger. He's working on his speed. His vision has always been there. So I would say his work ethic is his biggest thing.
He says his favorite running backs are Bo Jackson and Barry Sanders. He must be watching classic ESPN or something. He's too young for that.
Yeah, I like it. Old school.
Hey, Coach Taylor, good talking to you earlier today. Hey, you replaced legendary Pflugerville head coach George Herman, who finished a 21-year career with the Panthers, who've had great teams through the years, but 2012 was their last winning season, so you're preaching discipline, defense, ball control, but the injury bug has bitten your team. How do you keep everybody in the boat, buying in, believing in the culture of turning things around with such a young team?
Well, the biggest thing is you can't take shortcuts. I mean, you know, when the injury bug bites and adversity happens, you got to stick to the original plan, which we've done, you know, and it works. And so you can't start taking shortcuts. And if the kids see you preaching and doing the same things, even when the times get bad, well, eventually it's going to come back around and they'll stay in there. And that's how you fix it.
Coach, earlier on the show, we spoke to Coach Gamerdinger, the gentleman who took over for you over at McCallum. He was on your staff with you on the Magical Mystery Tour of 2017. We talked a little bit about the numbers over at McCallum and really what it meant that season and how impressive it was to be one game away from Jerry World with a team that really suited up, 32, 33 players on varsity that season. Talk a little bit about your memory of that team and how that can help your future team saying, hey, we may be small, but I remember a team in 2017.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same difference. We had those kids as sophomores went, you know, 4-6, and we didn't have a whole lot of them. And that year, you know, they all bought in and continued to work. And then by that senior year, you know, the ones that were left, they knew what to do. They knew the expectations, and they had bought in. They were in the boat, and they rolled. So it's really not about numbers. It's about believing in what you're doing, getting the kids believing, sticking to the plan. And if you can do that, then you usually at some point it's going to start turning. And, you know, it really works well. I've come to know, you know, when you have the young kids that are going to be there for 2 or 3 years. So by the time they hit seniors, you know, that's kind of what happened to that 14-1 team.
I'm still waiting for somebody to come from Hollywood and buy the rights to that movie. That would be a nice little movie. But great memories that was.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think about it all the time. I still talk to a lot of those kids, so that's just something you don't forget. And I mean, you can't recreate it. You know, that's one of those things. But you know, it does give you some, you know, something to look forward to, and you can kind of tell kids that you're coaching now that, you know, these kids do it, so you can too. It's been done before.
Coach, how great is it to have Jalen back at quarterback? I mean, he had to leave the Elgin game with your team up 28-10 with a shoulder injury. That resulted in a loss, and then he missed the next two games against Maynard and La Vega. He's a dual-threat guy, and he's hard to replace, but you got him back now, and you guys have a legitimate shot to make a run here late in the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's another young guy, and, you know, it hurt in that game where he went out because, you know, a lot of steam got taken out of us. But, you know, we got him back this past week, and, you know, we dropped a hard one, but he played a great game. And, you know, it was one of those things where we didn't run him as much as, you know, we usually would. But, I mean, of course, he's a dual threat. But, you know, having him back, you know, gives us a better shot these last few weeks. And y'all know how it is. It's, this district is tough. So you got to be hitting on all cylinders to have a chance.
Well, we're talking to Coach Charles Taylor of the Pflugerville Panthers, and let's really dive into that. You said the district is tough. We all know it's one of the toughest in the state. With three games remaining, you finish with three tough ones, Georgetown, Hutto, and Cedar Park. You're basically in the playoffs right now. You really can't afford to lose another, and you're playing some tough teams that are probably going to find their way into the playoffs. What are your thoughts coming down the home stretch?
We're just going to take it one at a time, and we're going to go out there, and what I preach to the kids, and they have bought in because they're all showing up, they're all working hard. We can only take it a game at a time, a play at a time, and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, a lot of times people don't pick you, but at the end of the day, we pick us, and so we're going to go out there and get after them, and we're going to take it a play at a time and a game at a time.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, a play, and really, you know, our rescue rooter team of the week, Connolly, beat you really on one play late in the game to win 35-28. And right now, Connolly would be that fourth team to get in. So you're that close to being in a position where, you know, you guys are right there. Do you feel like that's kind of what you preach this week is, guys, we're right here. We're, you know, we're one play away from being with the team that's going to likely make the playoffs.
For sure. I mean, we, you know, preach that. And I'm pretty honest with our kids. I told them this is, I believe, one of the hardest districts in the state. I mean, we have a team like, you know, Ofer team right now. Ralph, you know, they have a great coaching staff. You take, you know, them, us, or any other of these teams in our district and put them in another district, you know, they might be, you know, fighting for a district title. So
exactly.
There are no bad teams. There's no bad teams in this district. And you can go back and look at the scores, how close everybody is. So, you know, you just got to hang in there and battle. And that's what I tell them. We're not a bad football team.
No,
we're just in one of the best districts in the state. But that's what you play for. That's what you want.
Exactly. Coach, interestingly enough, the Pflugerville Panthers probably have a Guinness Book of World Record that I'm going to tell you that you probably haven't thought of, and maybe you have. The shortest bus trip to a game. Literally. You bus 100 feet from your high school across the street to the field to play your games. That's got to be a Guinness Book World Record, huh?
I'll take it because, you know, I rode buses down Lamar trying to get to House Park, so that quick bus ride is I like it.
I always say, you know, I think I asked you or I asked Coach Herman, maybe Coach Herman when he was still there, and I said, Coach, you could have a processional right across. You know, how cool would it be to have the band march across the road there? And he said, I don't think that's going to happen. We're going to bus over. But Coach Taylor, you've always been a great friend to IHS fan and the Horn. We really appreciate you hopping on. And, hey, good luck the rest of the way. And make some magic. Take some of that magic from McCallum out of the bottle there and sprinkle it over there at Pflugerville.
We're going to try to do the best we can. Thanks for having me.
All right. It was Coach Charles Taylor.
Thanks, Charles.
What a great guy, the head coach of the Pflugerville Panthers. Hey, before we go to break, let me tell you a little bit about Dave Campbell's Texas Football. Earlier today, I logged on to my Dave Campbell's Texas Football Insider account to get some great info. I spent about an hour going through some of the computerized predictions for all the area games. The Insider subscription is amazing. They're having a special offer. For just $19.95 plus shipping and handling, you can purchase an annual subscription and become a Dave Campbell's Texas Football Insider. As an insider, you'll be mailed two magazines during the year. First, you'll receive the December recruiting issue, and then in June, you'll receive the summer preview magazine known as The Bible, both mailed directly to your house. You will also have access to archive magazines and great exclusive content. A tremendous value. Go to texasfootball.com. And at the top left of the homepage, click on the Become an Insider button, and you too can become an insider just like me and Jeff. And, you know, Pflugerville, how about that bus ride, 100 feet? You think that's a Guinness record?
It's got to be. And, you know, the fact that I still think to this day when people come into the Pflugerville area, they see that helmet, they see that uniform, and they think the series, Friday Night
right,
Lights.
Of course. You know, and that's, I think, if I'm not mistaken, Friday Night Lights, the TV series, called it Herman Field. That's what the field was called that Dillon Panthers were playing on. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, that was a nod to Coach George Herman,
yeah,
who was the longtime coach of the Pflugerville Panthers, who really helped them out in the filming of that whole series with uniforms. And I think they gave him a nod there, and they called it Herman Field.
And now he's over at Round Rock ISD, you know, part of the athletic directors. And I think, you know, George Herman had a lot of really good teams through the years at Pflugerville. And don't get me wrong, they've had a lot of talent through there, but that area, it's tough to keep winning year in and year out. There's so many teams.
He played for a state championship, the Panthers there, and he's enjoying his off time. He is working over there at Round Rock ISD, but just for another month or two.
Emeka Okafor. Good. I'm trying to think all the Pflugerville players through the years.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk to the head coach of the Aikens Eagles, Umberto Garza, along with Austin Chittum of Bulldogs United. You are listening to The Horn.
From the pages of IHS Fan Magazine, the Austin area's premier high school football preview publication, and the creators of The Horn Webcast Network, powered by IHS Fan. Welcome to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Here are your hosts, Rick Epstein and Jeff Power.
We are moving right along. Hour number two. That first hour went really fast. We talked to three different coaches, Coach Taylor, Coach Gammerdinger, and Coach Altman. We talked to Elijah Oakman from the Pflugerville Panthers. And before we get to our next guest, Jeff, you wanted to say something about something you said about Pflugerville.
Yeah, we were just looking back. You know, 2007 state finalist, Alex Okafor, by the way, Xavier Gooden, Ike Inampali. They've had so many great players from that Pflugerville area in all sports, you know, and it's just loaded with talent and, you know, just continued good success to Charles Taylor and then all the Pflugerville Panthers out there.
All right, we're going to move right along. We've got our fourth coach of the night. We've never had four coaches on one night on Under the Lights. We've done it tonight. The head coach of the Aikens Eagles, Coach Umberto Garza. Coach, are you in the line?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Wonderful. Welcome to Under the Lights. We really appreciate you taking time to talk with us. Hey, I remember before he passed, Dr. Charles Aikens, who, by the way, was at one time my high school principal, back in the day over at Anderson High School. He used to call you regularly to get the latest info on the team. He was such a great man. Can you share a memory that you had with the namesake of your high school, Dr. Charles Aikens?
Oh, yes. I tell you what, I want to say that it's, you know, an honor to be there at Aikens High School. And you know, but he would call me every Friday. Every Friday. When he was a draw, he would call me every Friday. And he just wanted to get the lowdown and wanted to know what was going on. And if, you know, before he could not be able to go to the games, he was at every single ball game, and he made it. And if he could not make it, he would call me to let me know how sad he was that he wasn't going to be there that evening. And so, I just miss those phone calls because it was, I could always look forward to it, and I'd always wait in my office. And without a doubt, there is a certain time, he would call in and give me his little, you know, good luck to the team, good luck to the guys, and it was, you know, it was fantastic.
That's fantastic, Coach.
Umberto, Jeff Power here. Hey, I was just I saw your team last week playing Anderson, and you've got some great quarterbacks and Rocco DeGaglia and also Quincy Welch, who I believe he played tight end over at Del Valle, then transferred to Aikens, and plus Nathan Davis. I mean, just a lot of guys who can tote the rock and just be that all-everything kind of players for you. You've got a lot of talent on this team. There's no question that now you've got a stretch here where you've got some winnable games, and who knows? You know, you're one play away from beating Anderson. Who knows about these last three, right?
Yes, sir, and that's, you know, you're absolutely correct. We're one play away. We had a, you know, bad, you know, turnover there on special teams, and Anderson took advantage of it and, you know, got us on that. But, yeah, one play away, and we got three guys. We got Rocco and, you know, and Nathan Davis, who's a running back, and we throw them in there in the Wildcat formation, and then we got Quincy, and they're all playing well, getting better every single week.
You really have to be proud of the way your team competed. You didn't get the win against Anderson, but they competed well. Your team finishes with Bowie, Austin, and Lehman. As Jeff mentioned, all winnable games. What are your thoughts coming down the home stretch in 25-6A for the Eagles?
Yeah, I mean, you know, every week it's going to be tough, and we tell the boys, let's just focus on what we got to do this weekend and not look ahead. And, you know, Bowie's going to be great. They're always coached very well. Coach Eagle does a great job with them. And, you know, they're right down the road from us, so a lot of the boys know each other. So that it makes for a fun game, fun atmosphere. And you know, I think Coach Taylor said it before, this is just one game, one week at a time. You know, let's just get through this and let's do what we do and focus on us and take care of us, and everything else will be okay.
And let's give a shout-out to your defense as well. They played really well last week, and you had a big 83-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown. I mean, it seems like the guys are really buying in and believing what you're preaching over there.
Yes, sir. You know, I tell you what, our defense has been playing lights out. You know, starting with our defensive end, Patrick Callahan, he's been fantastic. You know, we had a lot of young guys playing in the secondary for us. You know, we had some injuries here and there, and so we got to, you know, next man up. And so you got to, you know, told them, got to be ready to go in. And so they've been learning. They've been learning on the fly and going. And we've been, you know, mistakes here and there, but we've been proud of them. You know, and we have to keep on doing the same thing every week.
Coach, you're, as we mentioned earlier, 10th season as head coach of the Aikens Eagles. What do you like most about being the head coach out there?
I mean, get to see the kids every single day. You know, get in there and getting to work with them every single day and getting to get outside and just be part. You know, it's a great community. We're still growing, you know, and South Austin back over there, it's changed so much. It's fun. And every day that we get there, it's fun. I really do enjoy doing that, you know.
Who knows what's going to happen in February for realignment? No one ever really knows, but you've kind of been joined at the hip with the Lake Travises and the West Lakes of the world in one of the toughest districts in all of Texas. But who knows what will happen in February? Listen, we really appreciate you hopping on the phone with us, and we'd love to have you back as a guest.
Sure, anytime.
Thanks a lot, and good luck the rest of the way in your final games this season.
All right, guys. Appreciate it so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Umberto.
That was Umberto Garza, the head coach of the Aikens Eagles. 10th season out there at Aikens, and his teams compete very well. They don't always have as much talent as some of the teams that we mentioned, the Lake Travis and West Lakes, but they always compete.
Yeah, and talking to Coach Garza earlier today, he was talking to me about how, you know, his kids know all the Bowie kids. They all kind of play in the same youth sports, and they get to know each other well, and it really is kind of a backyard rivalry down there in South Austin.
Absolutely. We're going to switch gears here. We've got a special guest that we're going to get on the line. Back in 2002, the Burnett Bulldogs were back in their second straight 3A Division I state championship game, and they faced another team named the Bulldogs, the Everman Bulldogs. And in the first half, a senior star defensive player for Everman, Corey Fulbright, was injured. And I remember this game back then. The result of the game paled in comparison to what happened once both teams found out about the extent of the injuries. I welcome to the show a member of the 2002 Burnett team and the creator and founder of of Bulldogs United, the Corey Fulbright story, Austin Chittum. Austin, are you on the line?
Yes, sir, man. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, wonderful. We really appreciate it. You know, I do remember this, even though it was coming up on 17 years ago. I remember the story of the young man, tell us a little bit about Corey Fulbright and how you got involved with this great cause.
Well, first of all, Corey was a heck of a player. He was making tackles left and right on my boys. And, you know, he made a tackle with bad form with his head down, and it changed his life forever. And, you know, but he doesn't let it get him down. He stays positive throughout everything they've been through, and it's been just a real honor and privilege to know this guy. You know, for me personally, I saw him laying there for 45 minutes after the tackle. We all knew right away that that was serious because he wasn't budging. He wasn't moving. And the whole Alamo Dome went real quiet. You could hear a pin drop. And, you know, looking over at him, I just thought, oh, man, I hope this guy gets up. I've seen injuries, but nothing like this before. And whenever I realized, you know, they're bringing the stretchers out, everybody's praying for him. And it changed the game. You know, all of a sudden the game wasn't that meaningful. Like you said, we were just worried about Corey. But at the same token, we still had a game to play. So it's kind of weird. But the Everman Bulldogs, they sure rallied for their guy, Corey. And they came back and beat us. But, you know, afterwards, it was one of those things where, you know, for many years after, I was thinking about Corey. And, you know, I just knew him as the young man who was hurt. I never saw his face or nothing like that. Never really got to talk to him. And one day on Facebook, I saw him on Facebook. I reached out and said, hey, man, want to let you know we haven't forgot about you. And next thing, I got a call from Corey, you know, on Facebook Messenger. And I was like, oh, man, it's Corey Fulbright. So we get to talking, and we had a lot in common. We both love film. We both love, you know, football. And we just, I said, you know, I've been dreaming about making a documentary about this. And he said he was down for it. So I got a little film crew together. One of my guys I met on Facebook as well, his name's Ian Lloyd. He's a great little cinematographer. And we went down to, or we went up to Fort Worth, and Coach Matlock let us get out there and film and talk to the players before the game. And it was a really fun experience getting to know Corey and just realizing that, you know, no matter what, you know, he doesn't let things get to him. He still loves football. And some of the things that we, you know, think are major issues are just trivial compared to what he's been through.
And we're talking to Austin Chittum, talking about Bulldogs United, the Corey Fulbright story documentary, and a few other things. And correct me if I'm wrong, Austin, but Coach Bob Shipley was the coach of the Burnett team, and young man that Longhorn fans know very well, Jordan Shipley, was the star receiver, and Stephen McGee, the Aggie quarterback, right, was the quarterback. Yes. You had quite the squad back in 2002.
Oh, man, we sure did, man. We sure did. And we steamrolled everybody, and we met up. The only team that we really had trouble with was Marlin, and we went into overtime. My buddy Cody Warner ran back a touchdown, and then we ended up going to overtime and beating them. But other than that, we pretty much handled everyone along the way pretty easily, and we went through some tough. Now, in the playoffs, it was tough. We went through Jasper, Senton, Warden. There were some good teams, and we were a little banged up going to the state championship, but you know, Jordan and Steven were great leaders. Coach Shipley was an awesome leader. We had a bunch of guys that went to D1 schools, Arkansas, Georgia Tech, Arizona, West Point. One of our guys, Luke Pell, was on the Bachelorette.
That's funny.
He's the West Point outside linebacker.
Well, let's talk a little bit about another positive thing that happened from that game. Two people that were at the game – the Canales family saw what happened, and they formed. Yes. They ultimately formed because of the game. Gridiron Heroes. Talk a little bit about Gridiron Heroes and what they do.
Yeah, so the Gridiron Heroes. Those are some amazing guys. Chris was in a dark place because he had broke his neck in a football game, and he was just, you know, he was feeling sorry for himself, which is easy to do at that point. But his dad said, hey, let's lift the spirits. Chris, let's go to a game. And of all games that he finally came back to watch a football game was the one where Corey broke his neck.
Wow.
And Chris looked at his dad right away and said, Dad, we got to do something about this. We got to help him. We know what he's going through. They started the Gridiron Heroes, and they have helped so many families. They raise money. They give vans. They give gift cards, wheelchairs, and most of all, they give time and expertise of what people are going to go through. And there's a young man down in Houston. I believe his name is Jaden or something. I'll have to look that up. But he just broke his neck in a JV game.
Wow.
And see, Corey's neck break was in the highest profile game. Like you said, all those stars, there's a lot of people that came to it and saw the game. There was a lot of people. The city of Burnett and the city of Everman raised a lot of money for Corey. They bought him a house. He got $100,000 from Burnett to build the house, so it's wheelchair accessible. Mark Cuban donated $75,000 for a nice bed. But like this young man, Jaden, you know, he didn't have that kind of attention.
Right.
So that's where the Gridiron Heroes, unfortunately, they have to kind of shed light on these guys and make people remember about, you know, what's going on out there. Because a lot of times people forget about it, and they only pay attention when the injury happens. It's kind of the dark side of the game that a lot of people don't want to shine light on.
Sure.
And they kind of want to put in the corner, in the back corner, and make it disappear. But the Gridiron Heroes are always there, man. They are always there.
Well, let's talk about the documentary. I know you're going to be doing some filming this Friday night out at Burnett.
Yes.
You know, talk about when we might be able to see it and where we could see this once it's created.
Well, you know, our ultimate goal is, first of all, you know, we're in the filming process, so we don't really know exactly where this will end up. We're just trying to get as much footage as possible. We spoke to a film producer who's doing a film called 12 Orphans, and that's the Doak Walker story, and it's starring Luke Wilson. And it's a really nice lady I actually met at one of the fundraisers for the Gridiron Heroes, and he's business partners with Jordan Shipley. They sell ranches together, and his mom is a film producer. So we're trying to get in a little trailer made so we can send to her. And we'll see where it goes from there. But right now we're in the filming process, and, you know, we're just taking one step at a time. It's my first time behind the camera and kind of directing. I'm usually more on the acting side of things. You know, I did a Kenny Chesney video, There Goes My Life. I was the young dad back when I was 19. Yeah. Won the number one video in the CMA award, but I definitely am living that life now, being a dad coaching flag football team. And, you know, it's fun, a lot of fun.
Well, we really appreciate all that you're doing for this and, you know, shining the spotlight on something that really needs to be told. As you mentioned, it is something that folks don't really – it happens, unfortunately,
yeah.
You know, these injuries, these catastrophic injuries, and it's what how the communities rallied behind. It's interesting. Both teams were Bulldog mascots, you know, both communities got together, bought Corey a house that would be conducive for his life, you know, in a wheelchair, and – wow. Congratulations on the documentary. I can't wait to see it. And please,
yes,
keep us up to date on what's going on.
If you want to look us up, we're on Facebook. It's called Bulldogs United, the Corey Fulbright story. And we have a little GoFundMe to help raise some money to finish the project because, you know, I'm paying for most of it. And
right,
we've had some support already from the communities. And, you know, friends from Cedar Park, Burnett, Everman, everybody's been pitching in. So, you know, keep the donations coming. We'll try to finish strong. The biggest thing I can say is, you know, those guys don't blame football. They said they could have hurt themselves riding in a car.
Right.
They said it's actually football that helps them stay strong, and they all still love the sport immensely.
Well, so give us a website again for fans who want
to
donate.
Just on Facebook. If you're on Facebook, go check out Bulldogs United, the Corey Fulbright story.
Wonderful.
It's all one thing. And you can see our little GoFundMe and
5, 10, 20, whatever you can donate will help us finish this project and make it really something that will speak to people, and it's uplifting. You know, these guys don't give up.
Right.
They just keep fighting.
Well, congratulations to you, and thank you for folks like you who really, you know, push forward the message here. Really appreciate having you on the show, and keep us up to date, and hopefully our fans will get on that Facebook account and make some donations.
Thank you, fellas.
All right. That was Austin Chittum, a member of that 2002 state championship team for Burnet. And Jeff, your thoughts?
Well, a couple things. I remember covering that team, first of all, the Burnet Bulldog team, and I remember being at the game against Jasper. It was in College Station. Jordan Shipley had a huge touchdown catch in that game. But in the bigger picture here, you know, the fact that it's a gift to be able to tell a story in a documentary, to be able to look back and to see what Corey Fulbright went through, and to have that in your heart to get people's attention so you can tell this story. Believe me, as someone who has produced documentaries, you have to have that passion, because there's plenty of roadblocks, and one of them is money.
Right.
And then eventually you get to a point where you realize, I'm doing this story no matter what. And in the back end, all of a sudden the money shows up, and then you find a way to get it on television or in film, right, in movie theaters. That's the difference, and that's what it'll take. And I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, you've had a lot of experience with documentaries. You've done some in Cuero, and you've done some out in for Odessa Permian, and a lot of the times, in maybe Austin, if you're still listening, a lot of the donations you got were for some of the major banks in town and real estate agents and insurance who just wanted to be part of the community for a good cause.
That's it. And you know, one of the things we would do, we'd reach out to the basically you go to the different chambers of commerce, and you get the business leaders in those communities. And people told me, how are you going to sell Cuero? It's a small town, but yet that town came out in droves and supported the Cuero Gobblers, not only financially, but just telling the story. Over 100 people were interviewed in that documentary.
Right.
But one leads to another. You know, Innes was the team that beat Cuero. And you know, I could go on and on about how these stories all came about. I mean, there was Brownwood, Abilene, on and on. Lake Travis was actually the first one we did.
Right.
The Quest for Greatness.
Those were great. The Cuero Gobblers, one of my favorite all-time names of high school mascots. The Gobblers. Hey, when we come back, we've got a lot more, including the Austin Fence and Deck prediction segment. We're going to talk about all the area games this week. Jeff and I will give our featured pick. Who do you got this week? I've got the Hutto Cedar Park game. Who do you have?
I've got the Ridge, Cedar Ridge and Vista Ridge.
One of the Ridges will win.
Yes, I guarantee it.
Yes. You were listening to the Horn under the lights. Under the lights, coming down our home stretch. Boy, Jeff, 7 guests through the first hour and a half. We're done with our guests, but we have 4 coaches. We want to thank them all. And one great player in Elijah Oakman, the super soft from Pflugerville, and Dr. Putney from Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. And then the great Austin Chittum from Burnet. He was a former Burnet Bulldog and was telling us the story of the Bulldogs United, the Corey Fulbright story. Really a great, great thing. I can't wait to see that documentary. And I know, as a documentary maker, I bet you would, you know, a good topic always helps.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And on top of that, I mean, they'll be doing some filming out there in Burnet this Friday night, probably just capturing the ambiance of, you know, football out there in Burnet. That's such a beautiful area, too. You know, it'll be a great atmosphere.
Let's talk a little bit about games from last week. The big one, obviously, the Battle of the Lakes, Lake Travis, 26. Westlake 25, a missed field goal was really the difference in that game. And Hudson Card, the quarterback we mentioned earlier, really played through what amounted to a season-ending toe injury. He will be done for the season, and he's going to be an early enrollee at the University of Texas in January. So his high school playing career is over, but he's certainly going to be a leader.
But you know what's amazing? I mean, he finished that game 20 of 31 for 224 yards, 3 touchdowns, including the game winner to Grayson Sandlin. But he played the majority of that game with that hurt foot. That happened in the first half.
Right.
It's amazing that, you know, the ligaments tore then, but that's an important game, and he fought his way through it.
Well, and he finished his high school career at Lake Travis, I believe, the 3rd all-time leading passer in Lake Travis history, which
as we all know, some tremendous quarterbacks.
Well, hey, listen to this. 50 touchdown passes in a season. Who's done that? Well, Garrett Gilbert's done it twice. Charlie Brewer did it.
Right.
I mean, those are just Lake Travis numbers that no other school could accomplish. You know what I mean?
So insert 6 foot 6 inch junior quarterback Nate Yarnell. He'll be the quarterback next in line for Hank Carter. And by the way, before we get to the rest of the scores, I was curious about a stat. And do you know, in the Austin area, there are only 4 coaches in the last 5 years that have had 10 or fewer losses. Can you name the 4?
Mm.
I'll give them to you, okay?
Okay, all right.
We'll start with number 4, Beck Bryden out at Regents.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
He has an 82.7 winning percentage.
All right.
He's winning almost 83% of the game. Number 3, Coach Todd Dodge, 86.3. Number 2.
Hank Carter.
No.
Nope.
Number 2. Carl Apsek of the Cedar Park Timberwolves, 86.8% of his games he's won. And number 1, of course, Hank Carter, who's won an astonishing, in the last 5 year span, 88.5% of the time he's winning a football game. And so we want to congratulate all the coaches in the area for doing a great job. But if we had a Mount Rushmore of area winning percentage, those 4 would be it. Hank Carter, Carl Apsek, Todd Dodge, and Beck Bryden of Regents.
Well, and you know what's amazing? You know, Card actually played with a broken left wrist last year, never missed a game. But he's actually the 4th player to suffer a season-ending injury for Lake Travis this year. The others being Nathan Ellisor, he tore an ACL, tight end Lake McRee, and also that was an ACL injury, and also Trey Dorsett. So, you know, and that happened against Mansfield Timberview. But, you know, the thing about Lake Travis, they got so many players out there, it's next man up. You know, Charles Taylor put it best, next man up. But, you know, not all the coaches have that next man up of the quality that Lake Travis has.
Well, remember the state title game 2 years ago when Hudson Card was a receiver to start the game, first play of the game, first offensive series, Matthew Baldwin goes down.
Yep.
Now at TCU, went to Ohio State, now at TCU. And insert Hudson Card as his career started in the state championship game, really, as the starting quarterback for Lake Travis.
It almost led them back to victory against Allen. I mean,
Allen
got out to that big lead, but Lake Travis battled back before you know it. 4th quarter game, here comes Lake Travis, you know.
They had another player Garrett Wilson was on the field, too. So, yeah.
Speaking
of Ohio State. Let's continue with some of the scores from last week. Hayes, really, Coach Lescode, what he's doing with the Hayes Rebels, 69-36 winners.
Xavier
over
Green,
Austin.
He's the real deal, isn't he?
And Coach Mike Rosenthal, who we had on the show last week, his team has really given up a lot of points the last 4 weeks. I know they gave up 70-something to Del Valle. And 60 apiece to Lake Travis and Westlake.
And Westlake. Yeah, 68 and 69 to Hayes.
And then 69. So he's they're trying to find a way to stop some people. Del Valle, the team we just spoke with, they got a big win over Lehman, Coach Charles Burton, 52-14 over Lehman. Vandegrift, who played McNeil. McNeil, this game was closer in the first half than the score indicated, but Vandegrift got the win 35-14 over the Mavericks. Round Rock, a big winner, 53-7 winner over Leander in their rebound from their loss to their only loss of the season against Vandegrift. Stony Point, who you mentioned earlier, 30 straight points to beat a tough Vista Ridge team. I believe that game was at Gupton.
It was.
So that was 30 straight points on the road for Coach Craig Cheshire's team. They got the win. Glenn had a much-needed win over Cedar Creek, who's got Alfred Collins. Hopefully Alfred Collins will wind up at the University of Texas. We don't talk recruiting, but heck, I'm a Longhorn fan.
Keep him here.
Brenham had a big win over Marble Falls, 41-13. Eastview continues their march as Coach Jared Fikoch in his first season out at Eastview, 35-20 winners over the Bears of Bastrop. Weiss, we had Coach Tommy Altman on earlier. They had a win out in Elgin. They won 40-24. Cedar Park beat Georgetown in a game that I thought was going to be a lot closer. Cedar Park and Ryder Hernandez. What a season, Ryder Hernandez. We had him on our show a couple weeks ago. Great young man. He's just lighting it up this year.
And what they're doing, I mean, the only loss to Vandegrift, I mean, they've just been on a roll.
Right.
You know?
They won 38-15 over Georgetown. Conley, Coach Jason Cecil, we gave them the ARS Rescue Rooter Team of the Week for their first win of the season. They beat Pflugerville for the first time ever, 35-28. So those were some of the scores. McCallum beat Navarro, as we mentioned, 56-0. Dripping Springs over LBJ in a big one that would probably determine that 12-5A D1 district championship. They won 17-14. Northeast with a win. Congratulations to the Northeast team, 26-14 over Crockett. So those were most of the games from last week.
You think Del Valle's got a chance against Westlake?
Not since Westlake lost to Lake Travis, right? Yeah.
I don't say not a chance. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people. They can score points.
They can.
And they've got some speedsters. I was listening to Coach Dodge on Craig's high school spotlight earlier today, and Coach Dodge even mentioned the speed that not only Caleb Burton, the wide receiver, the super soft wide receiver, and Tavier Dunlap in the backfield, but they've got some other speedsters,
Xavier Green,
and that can really get up and down the field. I was shocked at what they did to Austin High, really. 77 points.
Yeah, me too. And Duran Hill's doing a nice job running the quarterback position for them. And also Bobby Green, a nice compliment to Xavier Green. I think the thing with Del Valle is which team's going to show up. The team that lost to Anderson 20-17 and lost to Bowie in a game that I thought that they didn't look very good in. But yet, then they bounce back with these three incredible wins, lots of points, playing better defense. You know, I mean, they could definitely give Westlake a good battle for their, you know, for what it's worth.
I mean, the Westlake defense, take out the Lake Travis game, and their defense is giving up under 6 points a game. And really, they could argue that they could have all shutouts because all those points were with players that were not starters by that time on the field. So realistically, they could have every game shutout except for the Lake Travis game. But it's going to be tough. But I would not look past if I'm Westlake. you don't want to have Lake Travis beat you twice. Last week, and then woe is me, we lost to Lake Travis, and then you're not ready for a tough Del Valle team.
Yeah, and Del Valle, as you said, I mean, speed kills. I mean, this time of year, they're playing with a lot of confidence. Anything can happen. Turnovers happen in games like this. You never know.
Absolutely. Let's go over before we go to break. Let's go over the standings in all the districts. We have. In 11-5A D1, we already mentioned that district. Cedar Park 3-0, Hutto 2-0, Maynard 2-0. Those are the top teams. Connolly and Pflugerville. Connolly would get in if the playoffs started tonight. Connolly would be your fourth team in that 11-5A D1 because they got the win over Pflugerville, the other one-win team in that district. Georgetown, surprisingly, they're winless in district at 0-2, 3-3 overall, and Rouse winless 0-3 in district, 0-7 overall. 13-5A D2. This is the Weiss district. Weiss and Glenn. Weiss undefeated in district, 3-0, 5-1 overall. Same with Brenham, identical record.
They finish off against each other. That's going to be interesting.
Eastview, 2-1, 5-1 overall. Glenn, 2-1 in district. They got right back into this race. 2-1 in district. Coach Rob Schoenfeld, a good friend of the program. You can hear all their games on the IHS Fan Webcast Network with Alan Cepeda and Eze Sanchez on the call. They're 3-3 overall. Cedar Creek, they could play a spoiler. Right now, if the season ended today, Glenn is in. Eastview's in, Brenham's in, Weiss is in. Cedar Creek 1-2, Elgin 1-2, and then Bastrop and Marble Falls, both winless in district at 0-3. In District 12-5A D1, this is the Dripping Springs District. They got a huge win over LBJ. They are 3-0 along with Seguin. The Matadors are also 3-0. LBJ 2-1. McCallum and Crockett and Travis and Northeast all have one win. So, wow, it's going to be a steeplechase finish back for that fourth and final spot in 12-5A D1. Navarro has not won a district game yet. 25-6A, this is the Lake Travis-Westlake district. Lake Travis, 5-0 in district, 6-1 overall. Hayes, 4-0, 6-0. Remember last year, Jeff, Hayes started off 7-0. They're looking to do that again this year. Westlake, 3-1. Del Valle, 3-2. Right now, if the playoffs ended today, it looked like Del Valle, Westlake, Hayes, and Lake Travis Bowie and Anderson, both with two and two records. They're right in this. Bowie and Anderson, both teams need to finish strong here. Austin High, 1-4. Lehman and Aikens don't have a win in district, 0-4 and 0-5, respectively.
Well, and Austin High and Anderson have a huge game this week. And, of course, coming off the bye week, Bowie has a big matchup this week against Aikens over at Berger Stadium. And Lake Travis has the bye week.
Yes, Lake Travis has the bye week. That means Austin High will be on the Horn, 104.9, the Horn, the webcast of Brad Kellner and Jake Herman, who are normally a webcast team on the Horn webcast network. That game can be heard both on the webcast network and 104.9, the Horn on the radio. That's Brad Kellner with the call. 13-6A district, what a district this is. Probably so far the best, most competitive district. Vandergrift and Stony Point undefeated. Vandergrift 5-0 in district, Stony Point 4-0. Round Rock 3-1. Vista Ridge and Westwood. Vista Ridge with 3-2. So if the playoffs ended today, those would be your four teams: Vandergrift, Stony Point, Round Rock, Vista Ridge. But the two teams with 2-2 records in district, Westwood and Cedar Ridge, will have a lot to say in this home stretch. Anthony Wood and Sam Robinson, respectively, with Westwood and Cedar Ridge. Hendrickson, it's 1-4, I believe. The loss last week to Cedar Ridge is really going to hurt their playoff spots.
And then, 2-5, 1-4 in district, but probably the best 1-4 team around. They are really loaded.
Last year, remember, in this district, 9-team district, Stony Point finished 4-4 and did not make the playoffs. They were the fifth team, the odd man out last year with a 4-loss in this district. So 4 losses really is going to really make it difficult.
And a shout-out to Kendall Thomas. I mean, 281 yards, 4 touchdowns against Vista Ridge, most of that in the second half.
He's averaging, Jeff, 245 yards a game, 17 touchdowns for the season, and 11.5 yards per carry. Every time he touches the ball, first down, Stony Point.
He runs behind guys like Greg Shimolewski, 6'7", 240 pounds.
Oh, my goodness. And I got to speak to Coach Cheshire on my way in today. I had a question for him. And boy, let me tell you, he was so impressed with the way his team fought back from the Vista Ridge game. They were down, believe it, one time, 22-7. They were down
29-14.
And then they stormed back with 30 unanswered points to win, 44-29. So, yeah. And McNeil in that district, 13-6A, McNeil 0-4 and Leander 0-5. When we come back, we will have the Austech Fence and Deck prediction segment. You love it every week. You can't wait for it. Well, it's coming right at you. You are listening to The Horn Under the Lights. Here we go. You are listening to The Horn Under the Lights. We have had such a great show, and we're going to keep it rolling for our final segment. We are Rick Epstein and Jeff Power here on Under the Lights, and we're so proud to have a new sponsor the last couple of weeks. They came aboard, Austech Fence and Deck, and they are the title sponsor of our prediction segment. And we, Jeff and I, each choose one game where we really go all out and give a dramatic prediction, and then we'll go through the other games with our, if we have time. And Jeff, you've got the Vista Ridge, Cedar Ridge game, and Isaiah, give us some music.
The Battle of the Ridge could go a long way in deciding the fourth and final playoff spot in District 13-6A. The 3-3 Raiders are 2-2 in district, tied with Westwood for fifth, while the 5-1 Rangers are 3-2 in league play. Cedar Ridge is coming off a much-needed 31-21 victory over rival Hendrickson. Raiders quarterback Jaylen Brown was 11-14 for 151 yards passing, including 5-for-5 with 86 yards passing in the second half. A huge 3rd-and-9 pass play to Devin Turner for 45 yards was key. Senior running back Deuce Vaughn had a huge 4th-and-5 conversion for 17 yards on that drive, and 165 for the game. Brown would seal it with a 3-yard TD run, and it was a 10-point victory. Now, if Cedar Ridge wants to make it 7 consecutive playoff appearances, they will need to be ready for Vista Ridge at Dragon Stadium. The Rangers have been one of the surprise teams in 2019, going from 1-9 to 5-2 this season. In 13-6A, they're 3-2. Rangers quarterback Kyle Brown is a big reason why. He tossed 4 touchdown passes last week versus Stony Point, including 2 TD passes to Jacob Bowerman. Maximus Clark had a TD catch on a 33-yard run. And Quade Heckmet also had an 8-yard TD catch as the Rangers led the undefeated Tigers 29-14 before being outscored 30-0. Now, if I feel like if they can stop Deuce Vaughn, that's going to be the key, Rick. They got to stop the Deuce. He can't get loose.
Deuce
if
is loose.
If Vista Ridge can avoid costly turnovers like the 3 they had against Stony Point, I think the Rangers will bounce back in a high-scoring shootout victory, 41-35.
Wow, you're calling your shot. Vista over Cedar in the Ridge contest. Listen, here's what I got. Gupton Stadium, Friday night. Two perennial powers meet for just the 4th time ever when an undefeated 5-0 Hutto squad travels 20 miles to face the 6-1 Cedar Park Timberwolves. Cedar Park leads the series 2-1, but last year, in a rainy night in Hutto, Cedar Park was dominated unlike any game in recent memory when the Hippos shellacked the Timberwolves by 44 points in the 65-21 win. The teams share 2 common opponents, Conley and Georgetown. Cedar Park's margin of victory being 61 points. Hutto's margin of victory against the same 2 opponents was 29. Coach Brad LaPlante, in his 2nd season at the helm of Hippo Nation, has still never lost a district game. His squad is led on offense by super soft quarterback Grayson Doggett, who has completed 58% of his passes for 1,252 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions. Running back Kendall Williams had 18 carries last game against Georgetown. Receiving targets Trey Pinelli and Dejon Harrison account for 45% of all of their receptions. Hutto's defense is led by their amazing defensive line. That includes IHS Fan Top 10 player, junior Landon Watson, and my favorite name of all time, Lawrence Will Uwa. In the past 5 seasons, only 4 coaches have had 10 or fewer losses in the area. Timberwolves' Carl Abzek, it was one of those coaches. This Timberwolves squad is led by junior quarterback Ryder Hernandez, who seems to improve with every snap he takes. He has completed 65% of his passes for 1,646 yards and 15 touchdowns. 4 Cedar Park ball carriers have 32 or more carries, including senior running back Brock Johnson. The prime receiving targets, Gunnar Apsik and Josh Cameron. The Cedar Park defense starts with all-district defensive lineman Ben Bell, who leads the team in tackles with 49 and has 16 tackles for loss, including 5 sacks. Cedar Park wants to avenge last year's loss. Hutto wants to keep the district championship. The winner of this game certainly has the inside track. The game will be tight the whole way. Those 4 non-district games against 6A competition will pay huge dividends for Cedar Park, and a late 4th quarter heroics by Ryder Hernandez will be the difference. Cedar Park gets revenge. Cedar Park gets the win. Timberwolves 35, Hutto 24.
Whoa. Couple surprises.
So you're choosing Vista Ridge, and I'm choosing Cedar Park. In other games, let's talk about it. Dripping Springs at Navarro. I'm going with Dripping Springs as we go through these pretty quickly. LBJ at Crockett. I'm going with LBJ.
Yeah, I'll take LBJ.
On Friday night, Bowie at Aikens. I got Bowie 26, Aikens 21.
I'll go Aikens. Surprise, Victor.
All right. Anderson at Austin High. I got Anderson winning this game 35-20 over Austin.
I'll take Anderson that one.
Hayes at Lehman. Hayes big 45-21 over at Bob Shelton.
Hayes 7-0.
Del Valle at Westlake. Westlake bounces back, but doesn't win by as much as people will think. 42-30.
I'm with you.
In favor of Westlake.
Yeah, Shaps win, but it's close.
McNeil will get their 2nd win of the season over Leander. At Leander, McNeil 24, Leander 17.
I'll take Leander. What the heck?
All right. Vista Ridge at Cedar Ridge. You chose Vista Ridge. I'm choosing Cedar Ridge. 30-28 is my choice in that game. Round Rock at Stony Point in a big one. This is at Kelly Reeves. I've got Round Rock winning
barely. They will give Stony their first loss of the season. Mm. Round Rock 42, Stony 38.
I picked against Stony Point last week. I'm going with them this week. They're going to remain undefeated.
Westwood at Vandegrift. I've got Vandegrift winning, but a lot closer than people will think.
High scoring, right?
I've got them 35-31, Vandegrift over Westwood.
I agree.
Weiss at Cedar Creek headed down to Bastrop. I got Weiss getting another win, going 6-1. They will beat Cedar Creek 40-28.
Yeah, I'll take Weiss in this one also.
Bastrop will beat Marble Falls. I've got Glenn, the Eastview beating Glenn 42-20. That game is at Birkelback Stadium, yeah. And that game will be on the webcast network.
Home field, Eastview.
Elgin at Brenham. I've got Brenham winning that game.
Brenham.
Travis at Northeast. I've got Travis winning. McCallum goes down south to Seguin. I've got them.
I've got McCallum
winning 24-20. I'm going to give it to Coach Gammerdinger.
All right.
I chose Cedar Park. Who do you have in this Hutto Cedar Park game?
I'll take Hutto. What the heck?
All right. Georgetown will beat Pflugerville 35-24.
G-Town.
And Maynor will beat Connolly 45-30.
Yeah, I'll take Maynor also.
Wow. Those are a lot of big games. In this, Jeff, you got something?
One quick question. Do you think Lords Will Uwa has a relative who served in the U.S. Marine Corps? Uwa!
I just love the name Lords
That's
Will.
Awesome,
I mean, it's one of my favorite names. But those are the games. Get on out there and see some high school football. We really had a great show. I want to thank all of our guests, Coach Gammerdinger of the McCallum Knights, Coach Altman of the Weiss Wolves, Coach Garza of the Aikens Eagles, Coach Taylor of the Pflugerville Panthers, Austin Chittum of Bulldogs United, Elijah Oakman, the running back for the Pflugerville Panthers, and Dr. Putney of Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. We're here again next week. If you like Austin Area High School football, this is your show. You are listening to The Horn. We'll see you next week under the lights.